What's up, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's September 23rd, 2025, and you're listening or watching a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, sponsored by Like It Is Every Week, Mad Mushroom, and The Shop. More about those great sponsors later. But I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Aaron Lynch and Evan Webb in the house. Fellas, how we doing on this gloomy Tuesday night?
Doing all right, you, Tim?
Doing good.
It's officially fall.
Yep.
My favorite time of year. You know, I was thinking the other day, I think my favorite months out of the year are September and October.
I'd agree.
I can see September.
Okay.
I don't know about October.
What would your other go-to month be there?
Probably be April, March or April.
Golf season. All right. Respectable.
And March Madness.
Yes. Which I have such a love-hate relationship with March Madness. But better as of late.
Hopefully it won't be. Hopefully 2026 will be a March to remember.
March/April to remember.
Have fun. Yes.
Yep.
Hopefully it's not just a March to remember. That'd be bad.
Yeah. Yes.
We've been through that. Yes.
Yeah. Been there, done that. But unfortunately, we will be discussing another Boiler loss at hand tonight. The Irish successfully defended the Shillelagh Trophy for the ninth straight time, 10th straight time. Something.
Million?
I don't know.
You could have told me 1,000, yeah. 20 million. I don't know.
My final score, 56-30. Even though 26 points is not the best, it was a heck of a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too into the weeds, Evan, do you have a trivia question for Aaron and I this week?
I do. Okay. Oh, so pretty straightforward. So this season we've seen two wide receivers have games with back-to-back games with at least one touchdown scored, and that's Nitro Tuggle, who caught one in Notre Dame and USC, and prior to him, Arch with the first game, and then SIU. Besides those guys, who is the last Purdue wide receiver turn there to score a touchdown in back-to-back games?
You cut out there on my end. I've said wide receiver.
Oh, sorry. Who was the last Purdue wide receiver? A key term there is wide receiver to score a touchdown in back-to-back games.
So no tight end. It's got to be a wide receiver.
Yep.
Hmm.
Tell me who it is and which, if you can, a bonus point, if you can get the games.
Not a running back. It's got to be a wide receiver.
Yes, it's a wide receiver. That's the only hint I'll give you.
It wasn't last year, right?
Not giving you any hints.
Okay.
Wow. I am blanking on wide receivers.
I was like, this might be too easy. I wasn't sure how easy this would be, so I'm proud of myself for this one. I did not know this answer when I looked it up. I was mad that I didn't know it, but
I doubt this is right, but I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay. I will not tell you if you're right or wrong. I'll wait for both of you to answer. So give me your answer, Tan.
Charlie Jones against Indiana and Michigan.
Okay.
I think it's later than that.
Probably, but I couldn't think of a wide receiver the last 2 years who might have done it.
That's the problem that I'm having right now.
And now one crossed my mind, but I'm sticking with my answer.
Remember the guy that stepped out of I can't remember last year's wide receivers, but I'm going to say Morsett.
Tanner, what was your other thought?
My other thought was TJ Sheffield, but I wouldn't know who those two opponents would be.
Okay.
I have no idea.
The answer is Nylon Morsett.
He didn't say who against. He only gets half point.
Yeah. Can you guess which games, Lynch?
I want to remove this from my brain. But I want to say one of them was Penn State. Was it?
No.
Because I thought he was going to.
He was out of bounds that game.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Which ones were they?
It was the first two games last year, Indiana State and Notre Dame. He was the one who caught a touchdown.
He was the one who scored against Notre Dame. I thought it was the Smith kid who left after last year.
Atlantic. DJ Smith. It.
No, Leland Smith. I thought Leland Smith caught it.
I thought it was he was a kid from Florida Atlantic who was hurt his first year, then played last year.
Start with an E.
Edrin? Yeah. Edrin, yeah. So the caveat was Max Clair did catch back to back in the I think it was Penn State and Michigan State games. He caught one, but I was going with wide receiver. So nice job, Lynch. I had no idea.
When you went Charlie, I was like, there's no way. That's too long
ago. Yeah, I just couldn't. I was blanking. So, and he was awesome in 2022. Mm-hmm. So I took a stab at it. So, all right. Good question. But going back to the Notre Dame game on Saturday, like I said, the Boilers were defeated by a score of 56-30. They were only down 12.5, though. But then the third quarter got away from them, getting outscored 21-0. I don't know about you guys, but I sure hope that's the last time Purdue ever has to go against Jeremiah Love and Jadavian Price.
Yeah, that was rough to watch.
It's just like last year. If they got outside the edge, goodbye.
I don't think it'll matter just because that offensive line just gets off the ball and moves the defensive line back and gets to the second level too.
You know, and maybe next year it might not matter, but maybe next year we need a root for Notre Dame to win their games before they play Purdue.
Yeah.
Because 2 years in a row, Purdue's just caught a, and I don't even know if it would matter, but Purdue's caught an absolute pissed off Notre Dame team two years in a row.
Yeah. And I mean, frankly, because I mean, last year they couldn't lose two in a row just because of their schedule. And this year they couldn't lose three in a row because they got to go to Arkansas, which Arkansas's got some set of problems. But losing three in a row, the first three, that's, I mean, that would have all but sealed their fate to not make the CFP.
I don't think they can lose one more now. I think they got to win one either.
Yeah. And win convincingly for a lot of these games.
Yeah.
I think the win against USC is going to have to be good too. Like, it's going to have to be
elevated. Yeah.
Yeah, they got Boise State in 2 weeks, too. That won't be cakewalk.
But. Yeah, their defense has caused, I mean, credit to Purdue. I was really glad with how Purdue's offense played. You can definitely tell there's some, our friends who are Notre Dame fans, their reservations about Notre Dame defense is warranted because that was, there was some.
Their defensive backfield is struggling. Yes. Let's put it that way. I mean, let's get into that a little bit. We're through 4 weeks now. We're on a bye week. At least record wise, Purdue's right where I thought they'd be, 2-2. Mm-hmm. I think the passing game's better than I expected it to be.
Oh yeah,
the run game's worse than I expected it to be. The offensive line's worse than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Pass rush is non-existent. Defensive line has its moments, but I'd say it's probably a little worse than I expected to be. I will say linebackers are better than I expected. Defensive backs, about where I thought they'd be. They struggled Saturday, but they're about where I thought they'd be, kind of up and down.
That might be one
playing a lot of bodies.
Biggest disappointments for me as defensive back. I was just too hyped about reading about these guys going into the season. I thought that would be an area of strength for this team. Not necessarily like they're going to be like shut down corners by any means, but I've been much more disappointed than I thought I'd be in the DBs.
In special teams, I'm good with it. Besides the one kick return Saturday, and it's amazing. Like in the history of Purdue Notre Dame games, especially Notre Dame Stadium, how often special team blunders have haunted Purdue, whether it be a blocked punt, a blocked kick, a punt return touchdown, a kick return touchdown, muffed punt. Something always goes wrong for Purdue special teams in that stadium. It's just like their Indian burial ground for Purdue special teams. I don't know. It's something weird. I mean, right when even though I got to be honest, I don't remember the last time I've seen a holding call on a kick return get picked up.
Yeah.
No,
me neither.
And Barry was hot about that. He was hot about that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's
one thing to miss it, but another thing to flip back.
He said in the post game, one of the officials overruled the other one. from a different angle. That was what they told him. That's what they told him. Cause I think it was Tim Newton asked him about it. I was listening to it on the post game on my drive home from my parents' house. And he said, well, explanation I got is one overruled the other via their angle. Hmm. I'm like that. I'm so sick of that across football, college, NFL. Yep. There's too many flags getting picked up just because one ref wants to call it. The other ref doesn't, all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But Lynch, you had to be a little disappointed, and you know, discipline's a big thing for you. Penalties. Purdue was definitely penalized more this game than they have been, which I think we kind of thought they might be on the road, but there were some
costs. 7 for 75. Yeah, 7 for 75. That's atrocious. And only being minus one, I should say, in the turnover differential, which was kind of shocking. I was expecting to be higher. But when you have these silly penalties and you're getting blown off the ball on very many occasions. Now, I will say, made the comment last week, Notre Dame's secondary 103rd ranked in the FBS. They definitely showed why they were ranked 103rd this past week. It's pretty bad, though, for I think us looking forward and this team looking forward, they got to figure out how to run the ball. Malachi Singleton cannot be the leading rusher coming out of this game.
No, Ryan Brown's got the longest rush on the season, I believe, by 26 or 27 yards. I mean,
yeah.
The one thing I've noticed is that we don't pull a lot of guards, tackle, centers on any runs. I understand it's like when our RPO look that you can't, but we don't even try in regards to try to manufacture the runs. We're trying to put balls on the outside, and granted, Tate Brown has definitely vastly improved from his start against Oregon versus something like this. So we have to give credit where credit's due, but it's disheartening to play hard, smart, and tough. I don't think any of those. Well, I will say they did play hard at times, and they didn't give up like last year's team and walking in. But man, they did not play smart. The missed tackles, head down, going towards tackles and whiffing. You're not tackling what you're seeing. And I guarantee the coaching staff already watched the tape. I know you said burn the tape. I don't want to hear that ever again after last year's White Sox season flushing the tape. So you better watch it. I hope there's things that they can point out, and I hope they can actually move forward and look at where IU exposed to Illinois and see, and especially in this bye week, where we can capitalize, and then look at the film this week from USC Illinois and think, hey, we can capitalize on where their deficiencies are, even though we're not where we need to be yet.
Oh, yeah, I think this bye week comes at the perfect time. I mean, Purdue is a little banged up. TJ Lindsey out for the year towards ACL against USC. George Burnham, don't know. Arm injury, was in street clothes in the second half against Notre Dame. Don't know what his status is going forward. That could be a major killer. So the guy's good. He just can't stay on the field. He is just bitten by an injury bug every year. You know, still haven't seen Morissette or Chauncey Magwood yet on the field. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can be ready to go against Illinois. But I've been so pleasantly surprised by the wide receiver room. I was worried about that room, and now I'm like not worried at all. And Ryan Brown, like you said, Aaron, has improved a lot. Sure, he's got to make some mistakes. I mean, he had a pick that got tipped the other day, but he makes plays. The dude makes plays, and he's showing the last 2 weeks he can even take a pass and take it into the end zone, which that was a beautiful play call by Horton to start the game there. Henson to start the game there.
I will say this. Odom's press conference and what he said, you can win with a quarterback like Ryan Brown. You can't win with an offensive line like this, though.
No, they got to get that straightened out. And you know, Tom Dienert said it perfectly today on the Golden Blacks podcast. You're stuck with what you got. You can't pick up new additions during the season. So, you know, and
no trade.
If there's better linemen behind these guys, they'd probably be playing already. So I
want to ask that question with what's his name? UCLA got released. I thought they have a 30-day window.
They can sit out the rest of the year if they want to, but they can't leave for a different program.
Yeah, they can't just go and play somewhere else.
Well, can't they join the program, though, and not play? So it'd be like a red shirt.
Yeah, they can go red shirt, but I don't know if they can participate in practice or not, but they can go somewhere else. But yeah, they have to sit out.
I'd be curious to see how that transfer works because of like, I mean, because again, these are student athletes. So like, I don't know how you transfer.
Sure they're students anymore?
No, they're semi-pro athletes. So let's just be honest. We'll call them what they are.
They take a class or two.
Sure, for looks. I wonder with like Virginia Tech, UCLA, and now Oklahoma State today, can the staff go out and like, if they've scouted, like have a recruiting profile on these kids, can they go out and offer technically this person, like kid? If they jump in the portal, like, I don't know how that works.
I don't either. Mag 1631 says, go Irish. Yeah, get out of here. Yeah. I was thinking today, well, we get at least three more cracks at them, 26, 27, 28. Then we don't know the future.
For now, assuming one of us doesn't cancel.
Who knows?
Like, I mean, Lance could be vastly different in 2 years.
That's true, but I don't think it would be Purdue canceling.
Yeah,
no, it'll be relegation canceling.
No, come on now, come on now.
I think one thing looking back, I think there are positives. I mean, yes, there. I don't like that defensive backs are leading tackler on this team right now after four games. That's concerning to me.
Yeah.
But if we look where we wanted to be, and I think where this team wanted to be, effort's there. Can't deny it. They are playing hard at times. I would say first few weeks they definitely were. In USC, they didn't give up. I think – it's going to be big how they play in October because I don't think we're going to win a game in November after seeing Saturday.
It's going to be more challenging than October. October is going to be the barometer. It's programs that you want to see where you are. You should be at the level of, is what I'm trying to say. And I mean, yeah, there's a real opportunity there. Purdue can come out of get a winning record in the month of October.
Do you think that's more of a fan thing where we measure the barometer? Because it doesn't sound like the staff measures the barometer. They measure where they want to be.
Yeah. Once again, they're not. Maybe they are behind closed doors, but they're not going to say that publicly. If you said that publicly, then you're going to get blasted everywhere. In 2025 with social media, you can't say that. And even like, I know we've been talking our group message about there's still a talent gap between teams like Purdue and USC, Purdue and Notre Dame. But the staff can't come out to the media and say, yeah, there's a talent gap, because then you're losing your whole locker room four games in, and it's just not good. You can't say that, even if they really believe that. I think the talent gap with Purdue and their opponents in October is closer than it is with USC, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan.
You got to be very honest where they stand, though. Like, I mean, if you're going to do an honest review of this, like, they want to say, like, hey, it's a scheme. I don't think you can scheme as much as you can't. Like, maybe a running back pass like what we did, but, like, I don't know what you're going to do.
Hey, Joe Tiller figured it out early on. So
that was a whole different time.
It was. But heck, I think Purdue had the best success Saturday when they went five wide and ran like a run and shoot offense. I mean, if the run game's not working early, you either got to go short, quick pass game to make up for the run game, or screw it. Just send everybody out wide and let's just pass. Fair play.
They're just going to pin back the ears. And if you're going to go five wide, they're going to bring six on the line. You better have a hot route after that. It's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully they can continue momentum. Momentum's not stopped. It's 2-2. We've already doubled our wins of last season in the month of September. I know you made the claim that we're going to go We're going to win all four in October.
That might be me just talking out my ass a little bit, but
you were revved up on Saturday saying that's going to happen.
I didn't come out too discouraged Saturday. I mean, the third quarter sucked, but Notre Dame's still a top 10 team talent wise. I mean, this was a team that lost
penalty yards.
They lost. Yeah, but that it's the first road game. I mean, it was more. I was just encouraged by like this team gets hit and swings back. They could afford. What would last year's team do after that 100-yard kick return? Oh, yeah, they would have just went to the locker room. Purdue answers with a touchdown. I mean, the third quarter sucked, but they've taken some punches and punched back this year, and that's encouraging, I think.
They folded and got their agents on the phone last year. Like, where can I go make another check?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disappointed we lost. Don't get me wrong, but man, I didn't understand some of the Purdue fans' takes, like the sky is falling type thing after Saturday. I mean, did you really expect to go in there and win? I mean, everything would have had to go Purdue's way and everything against Notre Dame just for Purdue to squeak out a win.
I didn't expect 7 for 75 yards and penalties. Okay. And get blown off the ball.
It was going to happen. It was going to happen one game this year, eventually. The penalties, at least. Maybe not blown off the ball, but the penalties.
I mean, I know we talk about Price and Love's speed, but I mean, on those runs, the linemen were on the second level on Powell and Cray. Yep. And I was like, well, they can't get to the ball.
There's a reason Notre Dame produces pro after pro after pro on the offensive line.
Correct. And I just hope that we don't see 7 for 75 again this season.
Well, yeah, especially against they can't get away with that against too many opponents. So. Yeah. I mean, just clean some stuff up during the bye week. And, you know, one thing, I hope we're done with rain delays and storm delays.
Can't be delayed this week.
I mean, that's what sucked, too. Just after Purdue forces the first turnover on the year on a strip sack by Miles Slusher, which was a great hit, blindside sack on CJ Carr. Storm delay and Purdue really need to get 6 coming out of that delay to get a field goal really hurt. But because then the kick return happened. But like I said, Purdue punched back. So, but yeah, ifs, ands, or buts there.
I will say I feel I wonder if Will Hill has regret after this past weekend. But
I think he's doing just fine financially. So,
yeah,
I'm talking just leaving Purdue.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe our telling.
You know, if we would even if let's say Odom keeps our what considered the best talent what we had on this team, is this a better team? I don't know. I mean, we definitely have some athletes, and we definitely have another offensive weapon. That's for sure. I think Thieneman would have been a major difference maker in the secondary.
Sure. But
it could, would have, should have. You got to play with what you got, especially what Tom said today. I'm just discouraged. The only way you're going to win is playing smart.
I need to get you a shirt that says something about penalties. I don't know what, but just something you can wear on this podcast about penalties. I'll figure that out.
Glad you weren't watching the game with me because I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I didn't get too animated. I got more animated than the ref on the picking up the holding call on the kick return than about anything, I think. So, but yeah, bye week this week. So, no game to preview on our end, but
give our helmet stickers.
I was going to say, we got to give helmet stickers. Oh, I got to go grab my helmet.
All right. I'll go first this week. Mine's easy. Back to back weeks.
Oh my God.
My helmet sticker is going to Jack McAllister. Not only do you execute a heck of a play call of a fake punt, but you average 45.2 yards at net punt yards here. Bombed a 56 or 58 yard punt that really changed field position, but then it was a 58 because then Carr threw that bomb to face on.
Oh yeah,
and burn the defense because I was like that. Boy, I remember I was so pumped after that huge punt. So my helmet sticker's going to Jack McAllister, two in a row, friend.
I'm already challenging you to pick somebody different after the Illinois game, or this is just going to be turned into the Lynch gives Jack McAllister helmet sticker segment every week. You know, he's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. He's been awesome. That was great. That fake punt was great.
If we had the name September's MVP, who are you giving it to? Because to me, it's him.
Yeah, it's Brian I would Brown. Say it's McAllister or Brown right now.
Oh, I would disagree on Brown.
He's the quarterback.
I would disagree. Those turnovers.
Yeah, you're going to have those.
Yeah. Webby, go ahead. You can go next.
Mine's Ryan Brown. I thought he played. I mean, obviously the pick was what it was tipped. But I thought he gave, you know, he did what he could to give Purdue a chance. That kind of trick play, good throw by Mock to get it to him, executed really well. And I think, he's light years better than I thought he was going to be this year. Just, I mean, obviously it's not fair to judge him after, you know, an Illinois game that they didn't really know how to scout him. Then Oregon, it was just one of the best, I mean, the best team in the country at the time. But he's been way better than I thought. So, and a lot better in the passing game than I thought.
Both very good choices. I'm going to go with, I'm a sticker there. I'm going to go with Spencer Porath. 100% on field goals on the year.
Like 48.
I don't know about you guys, but yeah, he hit a 48-yarder. My confidence is growing with him. And historically, that's a tough stadium for Purdue kickers to kick in.
Yeah.
I don't see too many Purdue kickers go in there and go 100% field goal attempts. So,
do you think it's easier with a slit turf now there than it was with grass when it was grass?
Probably. Yeah.
I really have to think it's easier to kick off that slit turf than it is grass.
Don't tell their holder that against A&M.
Well, he used to be their starting quarterback back in the day.
He transferred,
played lacrosse, came back.
He should stick to lacrosse. That's mean. But my honorable mention would be Nitro Tuggle. Mm-hmm. Northwood boy, up there, Northern Indiana boy, catching touchdown. He's really starting to come on. For Purdue, mm-hmm. he's pretty special, I think, talent wise. So, yep. Yeah, looking at this helmet, don't you guys just miss that old Big Ten logo? God, I miss that.
Yeah.
God, I miss when it was 11 teams.
I miss those jerseys the most.
That's back before that. Well, Hope put the names on, but that in Tiller days, we didn't even have names on the back of our jerseys. Can you imagine that now with this team with 83 new guys? Double numbers.
Any digital program, you'd be sitting there scrolling every time someone makes a play.
I get why they're digital, but they've lost so much money this year on not doing print.
Did they lose money or did they save money?
That's for you to figure. It probably save money, to be honest.
But I'm going to guarantee it's saving money. You don't do that.
That's a lot of printing.
That is a lot of. That's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
They're doing just fine. They didn't make that call for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So, we don't have any game to predict for Purdue, but we have a lot of games around the Big Ten in the country we can predict and. We're going to have to come up with a spicy bowl prediction for something around college football this week.
We will. So before we jump into talking about any other games, predicting other games, I want to do the blind ranking segment for this week.
Okay.
Because it is about what you are going to do on your bye week. And I'm going to give you five options, and you're going to rank them on what you plan on doing with your bye week Saturday.
All right.
All right.
This is gonna be. This might be the toughest one because I don't know what direction he's gonna go.
I'm a little scared.
I kept it pretty tame. It's not gonna be the most. I can't wait.
Now, is this like favorite thing we would do? Like number one's like yes, this is like the thing I want to make sure I'm doing this weekend or what?
No, it's activities. It literally is activities.
Right, but am I ranking this like is number one like this? Will
oh
be
yes,
my...
yes, yes, yes. Yes. Number one is what you're going to do. Just like everything else, number one's what you're going to do. Number five is not like what you won't.
Yeah.
So, number one, you're going to read the message board and look for basketball recruits.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good because I think we'll both do that a little bit, but.
Oh man. I mean, I'm definitely going to do that.
But where are you ranking it?
I'll put that as my three. I hate going safe, but because I'm going to do it, but I think you got some other good stuff up your sleeve. So I'm putting that three.
I'll go two. I feel like something's going to pop off soon, so I'll probably glue to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. After today, I agree.
All right. Number two, watch a completely different sport this weekend.
Five. Okay, hold on. You say sport like you're not counting the NFL as a separate sport, right? Like
No, this is Saturday. This is Saturday.
Oh, okay, duh. Yeah, five.
I'm going to go two because I will watch a little Ryder Cup, but I got something going on in the morning Saturday that's going to make me miss the Saturday morning portion. But I'll go two because I will make sure I watch a little Ryder Cup. So I know that's the direction you were going, Lynch.
I was also going with any end-season races for baseball.
I forgot baseball's even going on. In my team's
– find the White Sox. I'm not watching.
Is in the playoffs. I mean, Lynch, I thought you might be talking bass fishing or something on FS2 or, you know, I don't know.
All right. Number three, watch your rivals play. Rivals being Notre Dame at Arkansas and IU at Kinnick.
Yeah, I'll put this at one. I know I'll be watching football later when I get home after I play some golf Saturday morning. And also I'll be watching Ryder Cup and probably the IU-Iowa game. We'll probably miss the Notre Dame game or majority of it.
If this is your number one, I'm going to be furious with you.
See, I'm trying to think. I have an idea of another one you might.
His wife went to IU.
Yes. She has a wedding this weekend. I'll be home alone, which usually is the better time for me to watch it because then I can scream.
It's a night game, though.
It's 3:30.
What? I thought it was 7:30. I think it's
3:30 Peacock game. No, because the 7:30 is
she's working away. State Oregon. From like noon to midnight. So
I'm fact checking myself here real quick.
I thought it was night, Kinnick.
It's 3:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did 2 and 5. I'm gonna put this at 3 just because there's something else that I'm waiting for you to potentially say. I will watch, but I might watch I'm really intrigued. I'm honestly more intrigued about the Illinois USC game than I am those other two games.
Illinois. Yep. Forgot about Big Noon.
Gosh, dang it. I only got my 4 and 5, and I know one of them he's gonna pull. God damn it.
LSU Ole Miss at 3:30 same time. That's another intriguing one.
Georgia Alabama at night.
What's gonna happen is like I will get up at like 14 and I'll get pissed and I'll just change it to something else.
So what do you say you put that at?
Three. I got 1 and 4 left.
I got 4 and 5. I'm mad at myself.
All right. Number four, spend time with your family or significant other.
This is actually probably, this would be my four because it's the day.
Yeah, I got to put it at four because it's going to happen because I'm playing golf with my dad and then I'm here on my wife the rest of the weekend. But four is ahead of five, so I guess put it at four. Shoot.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I got to collect myself. I was hoping you put it in the last that you all would have to, your significant others would have to hear that. Yeah, I'm not spending time with you on bye week.
Like my wife listens to this podcast?
Yeah.
Now she will, somehow.
She gets talking about it a lot all the time. She eats enough.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, number five. I don't know how this one's going to go because I literally thought you put this one probably ahead, but you will be doing a home improvement project.
Oh, God. No.
That's definitely five. That's not on my card for this weekend.
I should, no. But I'm not. That's my one, apparently.
There's right. always that to do, but, I mean, come on. Yeah. You said what I would want to do? That's five.
Now, if that includes mowing, I probably might have to mow this weekend, depending on how the rain.
Yeah, I mowed a little bit today for the first time in, like, weeks.
I wanted to be as random as possible, but I wasn't going to be going down.
I thought you were going to throw playing CFB 26.
I did too.
That would have been my one by a mile.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to put that because I was like, man, that would have been the easiest answer. So I was like, ah. I was hoping you were going to say I was going to be glued to the message board on basketball recruits all weekend.
It was almost my one. I'm not going to lie. It was. But then I thought of the game. I was like, well, maybe he'll throw that on there.
I thought the game was coming too. So,
yeah. Man.
Good list. Definitely not the direction I thought Blind Rankings was going this week. But
well, we could have re-ranked different ways.
If I were to re-rank, I'd probably go Message Board 1, Rival Game 2, Sniffing Other 3s because she'll be gone all day. Four would be watch another sport. I'd watch another sport if I'm doing a home improvement project. I'm home by myself.
Yeah, I'm good with my rankings. I'll keep them. I'm good with it.
Thought we'd go a little obscure being a week we had it off.
I like it.
Won't be as obscure as homecoming. That'll be the best one.
God.
Lord. Well, before we jump into predicting other games, I did tell you guys this was coming. And I'm curious. I want to know your guys' top five least favorite or most hated, disliked, however you want to say, college football teams as of right now. I know these can change year to year, heck, even week to week sometimes. But right now, who's your least five favorite college football teams, with one being your least favorite, five being your fifth least favorite, of course?
I thought about this hard, and I can only come up with three and an auxiliary. So, the three being IU, number one, Notre Dame.
Agreed.
Number three, Ohio State. I just can't, especially on Big Noon with Gus Johnson, get it out of here. I can't take it anymore. Number four is auxiliary because it's a person. It's not a team. And it's Brian Kelly.
Yep.
I couldn't stand him at Cincinnati, couldn't stand him at Notre Dame, and I'm glad he's at LSU because the media coverage around Indiana is not around that anymore. But man, I can't even stand him there.
Yeah,
he's wanted to retire.
He's a jerk.
But that's my list I can only come up with.
All right.
I don't have any feelings for Row the Boat or anything like that.
He's pretty annoying too.
For me, yes, it's hard to get five. But right now, number one, this is actually like I didn't think it was gonna go, but my number one right now is Indiana. 2 years ago, they wouldn't have been number one, but it's just because of
Cignetti's pretty damn unlikable.
Yeah, and they're just really good, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's a good coach, but they're up like 50 and he just looks pissed off at the world all the time. Yeah. He's just an unlikable dude.
Number two is Notre Dame. But although it's like it's getting easier and easier because I like Marcus Freeman so much. I know it's hard. Like I still like I hate them. But like I think, yeah, the playoff game last year kind of broke my brain when they had played Indiana. Because like forever it was always like, you know, the two play each other Indiana in that game. But then when it was like actual like massive stakes on it's like, oh, I'm actually probably cheering for, you know, someone who's always been never Notre Dame. Yeah, but they're number two for sure still. I didn't find myself last year. I couldn't really get mad because of just how awful it was. But this year I didn't find myself getting that mad at like whatever. Usually in a rivalry game, I'll find anything to get mad or annoyed by the other team. Like, but I couldn't find myself. I didn't find myself doing that on Saturday. Maybe just because I kind of knew how the game was going to go. Number three is Illinois.
We're three for three so far, Webby, you and me.
Just mostly, I mean, actually, I do have five. I don't know why I said five. Three and four could be interchanged. But I'll say Illinois three just because of they're in the Big Ten, having to deal with their fan base. They're real cocky. Obviously, they've been good. They've gotten really good. You know, Burt's a good coach. I don't think they're going to be
He's annoying, though.
On Saturday. I think I even said last week, I wouldn't be surprised if IU blew them out, and they did. Killed them immediately. Obviously, you know, they'll be pumping up that number nine to beat number nine, but you know, I don't think Illinois was even close to a top. I mean, I think top 20, I would say closer to 20 than they are top 10. Still a solid team, but I'm just gonna be curious to see how they respond, because as we saw, like, it's one thing to get beat bad, it's another thing to get beat by 50 and try and come back from that, especially like against like an interconference opponent who you thought you were better than. And then obviously the rivalry that we play them almost every year. So that's that. Number four is Tennessee.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
I didn't have it. And I was like, oh, duh. Obviously,
that's a good one. I was
at a conference. So obviously, we don't really deal with them. It was just mostly that Music City Bowl.
Man, they came after us on Twitter. I had never experienced anything like that.
Which, like, the podcast, they were cool people.
Yeah.
So I still follow some of them. But it's annoying to see that fan base again. I mean, obviously solid. I mean, a great program, great team. But again, kind of one of those, like, you haven't really done much. Like, obviously they made the playoff, which is more than we can ever say for football. But
they remind me, maybe you guys can agree with this. Like, growing up, I always looked at Clemson and Georgia as two programs that were really good, but could never get over the hump. I mean, now they have, of course, the last
decade,
but that's how now I feel like Tennessee. They're like right there. They're really good.
Be like a punchline. A team that we have everything going and they screw it up. Like,
yep. And that's how I feel Tennessee is. Like, they're really good. I don't take them consideration to win at all. But
yeah. Have you seen how things change now with Adidas? Because I think they're recruiting a lot better because Adidas is helping with that kind of stuff. So that'd be interesting to see. But yeah, I hate them. And then if I had to pick one right now, I don't like Michigan. I don't know if it's just the whole, I think a lot of it had to do with Harbaugh when he was there. Again, I mean, obviously they won a national title, so that's incredible. But there's like the whole cheating scandal and just how people, you know, or the sign stealing and how people reacted to that. It just kind of just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I cheer for Ohio State every time they play now. Like, for the last handful of years, I've always cheered pull for Ohio State. So yeah, I think that probably my five now.
And we grew listening to Gus Johnson on that game. I'm sorry.
I just don't watch them because I assume they're going to win 50.
Oh, Webby, we were three for three on the first three. I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. My number four is Colorado.
Yeah.
I've not been a Coach Prime fan. Of course, I follow a lot of Colorado media online. Yeah. And so that's all I ever see on Saturdays. And so I've enjoyed them falling a little bit. And I think number five, I'm going to say LSU, even though it's more Brian Kelly factor. Mm-hmm. Another one I almost threw in there is Wisconsin, just because they've drummed us for 20 some years.
Yeah.
And it's just so annoying. But I could put Minnesota in there because of Fleck. I could put a lot of Big Ten teams. I feel like
that I thought about Nebraska. Yeah. That was more with Scott Frost because he was just a pompous ass.
Throwing out a team, it's the actual person running the team.
Right. Yeah. I have a soft spot for LSU. I've always thought like their colors were really cool. Like, I like, you know, when Joe Burrow was there, I thought that was a really fun team to watch. So it's hard for me because I usually pull for them. It's kind of like, if I had to choose an SEC team, I'd probably pick like an LSU, because I think going to a game at Death Valley would be incredible. But the fact that now Brian's Kelly's stupid face on the sideline, that makes it really tough.
One thing that's always bugged me about LSU's field is how they have the yard marked every 5 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just really bugs me.
Why? Yeah. But they did it because it's official. like it was against, like, if you, the backstory is because an official was like couldn't see, and that's what they, that's why they did it.
Interesting. I didn't know the backstory there, but still don't like it. Speaking of LSU, real quick, since they play Ole Miss this week, did you see that? Did you guys catch any of the news today, like around that game?
We with Kiffin's daughter in weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. Why is this making to this podcast?
What happened?
So Lane Kiffin's daughter came out. She's dating Weeks, who is the one of the linebackers on LSU.
Oh. Like it came out,
they're in a relationship. And Lane Kiffin responded to a tweet about it, said, take the over.
Which one is it? Because all three brothers play and actually play.
Because they were – I know them because they were on that SEC documentary on Netflix. It's really good.
And they're dropping a Lane Kiffin documentary this Wednesday. It's like, why all this stuff's coming out. Let me see here. It is, which weeks is it? Wit Weeks.
Wit Weeks. So it's the oldest one.
Yep. Yep. Because there's a GIF going out there of Anthony Edwards of the of Timberwolves doing the X crotch chop. It said every time he makes a tackle this weekend, he's going to look over to Lane Kiffin and do the crotch chop. I don't know. I just found out about this evening and thought Lane's response was pretty funny. So, because the documentary revolves around how he was really considering taking the Auburn job when it was open, said Ole Miss, and how his daughter, this one, like made a video asking him please to stay and all this stuff. So. So who are you guys taking in that game? We'll open up with non-Big Ten games this week.
Let's look.
Oops. Ole Miss is favored.
Yeah, they're favored in that game. I saw it was like
favored by 1.5.
Okay.
I'll take Lane and the Rebels to beat Brian in the big game.
Yeah, I'll take that just because of what happened. Yeah.
Go Tigers.
We actually have two decent Friday night games this week. Number 8, Florida State's 6.5-point favorites at Virginia, who's actually 3-1.
Give me Florida State, man. What a turnaround.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. They won 2 games last year. They've already won 3. Number 24, TCU at Arizona State, who is 3-1 and a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Arizona State at home.
Yep, I'm taking the Devils. They need to win this one, I think. I don't know how many they could drop in the Big 12 and still win it, but they've already lost the game at Mississippi State. So, number 22, Notre Dame, 3.5-point favorites at Arkansas. That has went down. It was 6.5.
Okay,
it's went down by 3 points.
I watched Arkansas against Memphis last week.
They blew that game.
I was actually impressed, though, like how they were playing, though.
They should win that game at home, though, against Memphis.
No, it was on the road at Memphis.
Was on the road?
It was on the road. Still,
they should beat Memphis. Come on. You're Arkansas.
But I'm still going Notre Dame.
Yeah,
I think Notre Dame wins pretty easily, actually. Auburn at number 9, Texas A&M, who's 6.5-point favorites. I think A&M wins by 2 touchdowns.
I think
Number 15, Tennessee, Webby's to the Volunteers. 7.5-point favorites at 4-0 Mississippi State. Talk about a turnaround start to the season.
Is this a night game, Stark Vegas?
No.
It is 4:15. But they already beat Arizona State at home this year.
Yep. I think Tennessee goes in there and takes care of it. That offense is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I think Tennessee wins.
Tennessee, go Vols.
Arizona 3-0 at number 14, 4-0 Iowa State, who's 6.5-point favorites.
Give me the Cyclones, Matt Campbell and the boys.
I think they're going to be in the Big 12 championship. They've looked good.
Yeah, I wanted to really pull the upset to be different, but I'm taking Iowa State.
If they do get there, is this the year Matt Campbell finally gets lured away by – because there were some big-time jobs now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he just likes it there, which is good for him if he does.
And he signed a big extension last year, if I remember correctly, too. But still, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Do you think it goes to the NFL?
No.
I don't think if Cincinnati opened up, he'd consider it.
Cincinnati shouldn't open up. It's not whatchamacallit's fault that Burrow got hurt.
Can't stay healthy.
It's their general manager and their owner for not just being cheap.
No, they shelled out all their money on six players.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid too. Number 17, Alabama. 3.5-point dogs at number 5, Georgia.
I think Georgia rolls.
Me too. I think Alabama gets their second loss.
Yeah. And depending on how bad it is, you wonder. I mean, you used to wonder how hot that seat really gets if Georgia just embarrasses them.
Well, looking at Alabama's schedule, they still play Vanderbilt at home, at Missouri, Tennessee at home, at South Carolina, LSU at home, Oklahoma at home, and at Auburn.
Some favorable games at home, though. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're going to play those mm-hmm. games, I mean, might at home.
Nothing like Florida's remaining schedule. No. You guys see that thing?
Yep.
I see one, like maybe two wins left.
Yeah, after they lost to, what was it, South Florida? Like, they showed mm-hmm. that it was like they had the hardest schedule in the country. It's like, I don't think they're going to win another
literally
one.
Think they're going to maybe be best case scenario 3-9.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because they didn't have to play the last two national championship representatives in the same season like us, so.
Yeah, true. But I'd still rather have our schedule than that. number 25, BYU, 6.5-point favorites at 2-2 Colorado.
Give me BYU.
I like BYU smacks them.
Give me Coach Prime.
Oh, God. You make me sick. Ugh. I heard Shadir is, honest to God, not even the full scout team quarterback. He's splitting it with Bailey Zappe right now on the Browns.
From Western Kentucky?
Yeah, they're splitting scout team snaps. Yep. Should have let Baltimore or Philadelphia draft you like they both wanted to.
Yeah.
I think just like how Mike Evans made Johnny Football, I think Travis Hunter made him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, Big Ten games. Fox Big Noon, number
ones.
Number some 21, USC, 6.5-point favorite at 23, Illinois. Can USC win a 9 a.m. Pacific time game?
No.
Yeah, I mean, this is a true test, obviously, for Illinois. I mean, Indiana's offense just carved them up. They're not going to have one of their better defensive backs for a while because he had surgery. And as we saw, USC can put up some points. The real kicker is going to be if their defense can stop Luke Altmyer in that squad. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, but give me the Trojans. And a close one.
I think this is going to be probably one of the closest games of the day. And I'm still – you can still get the Big Ten title game, one loss. So give me Illinois.
Sure. Yeah, that dream's over, Lynch. I'm sorry. I think it's over. Part of me, even though I can't stand Illinois, and they're my third least favorite college football team. Part of me wants them to win so they're ranked coming into Ross State the following week. But I don't think they're going to. I think USC wins and covers this spread.
What was the spread again?
6.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I think USC wins by double digits.
If USC wins, that's going to, I think, spell a lot of trouble for Illinois because they have some tough games still to play. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. And say they get smacked, it'll be interesting to see where their mindset is coming into Ross-Ade back-to-back mm-hmm. big losses.
Yeah.
So, interesting one here. 3-1 Rutgers coming off a loss to Iowa at 2-1. Minnesota is a 4.5-point favorite.
You mean Boat Boy? Minnesota's not too bad.
That game was actually good on Friday night. I was scoring points. I was shocking. Rutgers let them have it. Rutgers, I thought, gave away that game, in my opinion. Give me the Knights on this one.
I'm taking the Fleck and the Golden Gophers in a close one, like by field goal. Like, I think it's pretty close.
Do you
number
think
11.
It'd be good hot?
No. I don't know who they could get better. I don't know. I don't know what Minnesota football's expectations are. I mean, he's done a pretty good job there.
Do you think the climax and pinnacle that will be that 10-2 season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Purdue football's won 10 games one time ever. Yeah, I don't know if Minnesota ever had. I think they did win national championship back in like the 50s.
Because that was like part of his big introductory press conference where he says that we're going to do something we haven't done since like this year. I think a lot of people were like, "What did we do?" And people were like, "What did we do that year?" Because no one cared.
He really said they're going to win a national title.
He said something we're going to do, like, I think in his introductory, like, or like when he like at like a basketball game or something, he's like, we're looking to do something that we haven't done here since. And he like throughout the year, I think it was a year they won a national title. It was like in the 60s or something. I think everyone was just like, what happened that year?
It is incredible that he's outlasted Jeff Brohm at Minnesota.
Oh my God. I remember when he got hired, like, who's going to last longer, Brohm or Fleck? And it was like, oh, Brohm's going to last way longer than Fleck.
Yeah.
He's going to be gone in like 2 years.
This is ninth year there. Eighth year there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They also have a Heisman winner in that program, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some history there. Number 11, Indiana, 7.5-point favorite at Iowa, who was 3-1. I don't remember the last time IU's won a road game against a team with a winning record. It's been a while.
Yeah. Man, they looked very impressive on Saturday, and I hated every second of it.
Uh-huh.
I think they roll by down plus. I think it's an absolute shellacking. I hope I'm wrong. Hope Iowa's defense kind of hangs in there, but the way they dominated that line of scrimmage and like the receivers just had like wide open spaces, like I don't know. I don't know if Iowa can put up the points. That's the other thing, too.
I agree. I do have a prop bet for you all. Do you think Cignetti waves at the kids?
Yes. I think he does.
If not, just my God. I think Brian Kelly would even wave at the kids.
Brian Kelly would just give a single, like, just the one. Brian Kelly would, the sun would be in his eyes, so he'd look up there and look at people like, oh, that counts as a wave. That people would count that as
Brian Kelly would do a wave and instantly get in his quarterback's face, start yelling.
He'd swat at a fly and people would count that as the wave.
I actually don't think Senegay's going to wave at him.
He will.
He has to. I mean, if he doesn't.
Good Lord.
Would that be a press line afterwards?
I think IU wins, but I think it's by less than 10. I think it's a pretty close game.
I hope you're right.
I think it's pretty close.
Pressure on them.
I just hope you don't wave at the kids. I know they're going to wave.
Oh my God.
It's just more bulletin board material.
Oh God, this next game. Good Lord.
Next on my list, number one, Ohio State, 8.5-point favorites at Washington.
I'd be curious, obviously, Ohio State traveling out west, which they went to Oregon last year, right? They won that game.
Yep.
No, Oregon won that game.
Oregon won that game, you're right. Because Ohio State tried to slide, and they killed them in the playoffs, yeah.
So it's like, traveling out west, I mean, I think they'll be all right. I think Ohio State.
Dead fish and the boys. I don't believe in that Ryan Walters defense.
Yeah,
I do. I actually don't. So Julian Sain hasn't played a road game yet. I understand he was the highest ranked quarterback when he went to Alabama, Saban, then transferred. I understand they have higher talent, but Washington looked pretty good in the Apple Cup. I understand it's Washington State, but they looked pretty good in that game. Give me Washington.
I hope Max Clair carves up Ryan Walters' defense. I think that would be beautiful.
What's the spread on this one?
8.5.
Yeah, I think Ohio State wins by 7.
Yep, I think Ohio State doubles that and wins. I think they're the best team in the country. So, right now.
I think Georgia is.
That's fair. UCLA at Northwestern in front of 10 people. Northwestern is 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm taking Northwestern this one. I might watch this just to because I hate myself sometimes.
0-3 at 1-2. Bull.
it'd be great if UCLA, like Nico left right now with the transfer window with 30 days. Yeah, Cats are going to win this, though.
I don't see UCLA winning the game.
Welcome to the bottom of the barrel of the Big Ten with us.
Do we say this now? The loser of this game is last in the Big Ten at the end of the season.
Yes, I think Purdue beats Northwestern. I'll go on record now on September 23rd. I think we'll beat Northwestern.
Yep. I think it'll be a game like last year, unfortunately,
or the year before.
Yeah, sure, the year before.
Ryan Brown has experience. Well, it's a different field though. He has experience playing at Northwestern.
Yes, wrong. Not the county fair field.
Right. This is probably the game of the weekend, not only in the Big Ten, but nationally. Number 6, Oregon at number 3, Penn State, who is a 3.5-point favorite. Can James Franklin win the big one?
Nope.
No.
Oregon. Go Ducks.
Quack, quack.
I'm taking the Lions. I think Drew Aller and James Franklin finally get one done. Penn State's defense causes Moore to throw a few picks. Should be a good one, though. I might have to watch that one.
Dan Lanning's a better coach than Franklin.
That's fair. I'll tell you, this type of game, if Dan Lanning loses, as crazy as it sounds, as Oregon fans start getting ticked at him. Because all of a sudden, like, oh, I lost Ohio State in the playoff. And now are we even going to make the playoff type of thing? Like,
I think they'll be all right.
No. I mean, they already ran out Mario Cristobal of Miami. Like, no way. They won't do that to him.
They ran out Willie Taggart. Talk about running out. They ran that guy out.
Watch what he did for State then.
I know. Yeah. But any spicy bold predictions around college football this weekend?
Back to Signetti doesn't wave to the kids.
You are heartless.
I'm not heartless. I would wave to the kids. He won't.
I'd hope he'd wave to the kids.
I'm going to say there are more turnovers in the UCLA Northwestern game than there are total touchdowns scored.
I'm trying to look for a really fun upset. Look at all these different conferences. Not finding anything good though.
Is Michigan on bye this week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought.
Not finding anything good. Here's a real bold one. Oklahoma State beats Baylor at home. First game without Mike Gundy. Baylor's a 20.5-point favorite. Oklahoma State pulls the upset.
Wait, I'm going to change my pick. UCLA is going to win. They're going to beat Northwestern. This is the first game without Foster. Usually you have that jolt after you're in, like your coach is fired. After that, then it's all downhill.
That's true. Saw Purdue play hard for Jared Parker.
Yep.
Not so much for Brian Brohm, though. That didn't go so well.
No, it didn't.
Or maybe that was just playing against Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers and about a million other pros when we're throwing out Austin Burton and the boys. Drew Brees is our office coordinator. Love Drew. My God. My God, that was bad.
Is that do you believe that's the worst bowl loss?
It just was – it was laughable going into it. It's like, this is practice squad against the 85 Bears.
I would say no just because of the climate we're in. Like, because that Music City Bowl was still, like, starters.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad. It was Tanner and I were there, like, eighth row, like, watching.
Slayton burns us by 20 yards, and Webby and I look at you like, uh-oh.
So that's SEC speed.
That's 7-5 SEC speed. Oh my God.
Well, what about the Heart of Dallas Bowl against Oklahoma State?
Same thing. Patrick, Patrick Higgins was coaching. Lame Oklahoma duck. State was ranked, for God's sake. They're pissed off. They're playing a 6-6 team. Yeah. There was a lot of fights leading up to that game. In practice fights leading up to that game. Guys were just mad. Yeah.
We should do the blind ranking of the worst bowl losses in Purdue history.
Well, there's some heartbreaking ones too, like the 2000 Outback Bowl blowing a 25 lead to Georgia.
I'm talking non-competitive ones.
I don't know if there's a list of five.
We'll put that in the hopper.
Yeah, historically, I mean, I remember 06, watching it with Webby, Maryland before they joined the Big Ten, Champ Sports 24-7. That was ugly. But, like, honestly, a lot of the Purdue Bowl games are usually pretty close, even if they do lose.
Yeah, you're probably right. That Hart of Dallas Bowl was, like, one of the worst ones starting in recent memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember no one at that game, too.
Yeah, lame duck coach, too, so it was tough. Yep.
The coach wasn't even there. Burke relieved
the new coach was.
New coach was. When he was getting ready for his bowl game. Dumb. Oh, we let him even coach that bowl game. Should have known right then. Should have let us. Yeah, we changed our mind. He can stay at Kent State. Damn it. All right, let's pay some bills, shall we? And talk about two of our great sponsors we have on the Boiler Breakdown. One of those being Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever I visit, Aaron visits, Webby visits, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which Aaron is going to tell you all about here.
Yeah, well, you still got time to get the pizza, September pizza of the month, bottoms up. Their version of upside down pizza, they cover with the dough with the base layer of mozzarella and then drizzle their traditional pizza sauce over that mozzarella. And then you can pick your two favorite toppings. We've all given our two favorite toppings in the past week. So, yeah, a couple more weeks to pick up this pizza. So, when you order online, use the promo code BREAK5 for any $5 off over an order over $20. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Yes, feed your head, madmushroom.com, BREAK5, like Aaron said. And that's good for any food. So wings, grinders, cheese sticks, of course, pizza. Get it all. So, and Webby, where can our listeners and viewers get good-looking merch just like that shirt you got on?
Absolutely. They can find it at the shop. They've been making Hometown Apparel since 2011. They've now got three retail locations across the Indianapolis area, one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown Indy. For all things Indiana, whether it be a university or college, they've got the Indianapolis football. It's not technically the Colts, but it's the Colts. They came out with some really cool stuff for them.
Your Indiana Jones shirts, everybody.
Yeah. blue and gold for the Pacers. They even got Ohio State stuff as well. It's the one out of state school. But if you can't go in person, you can go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown and get free shipping on your entire order.
Yep. And they're Boiler owned and been great partners to our podcast for the last few years. So keep up to date with the latest going on with the Boiler Breakdown podcast by liking us, following us on all social media platforms at Boiler Break Pod. You can also make sure you are subscribed on your favorite audio podcast platform to our podcast. And if that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. So, well, fellas, let's boiler up, hammer down, and stay healthy during the bye week.
Okay.
Well, one more thing. It was announced today for basketball, because I know all our minds are going to be shifting this month. Fan Day is Saturday, October 18th. So.
Yes, today Purdue plays at Northwestern. So,
Yep.
So, all good. So, check out Fan Day, October 18th. You got a few weeks to plan for that. But once again, let's boiler up, hammer down, and stay healthy during the bye week.
Boiler up.